Pickaxe.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast with me, Lewis. Also here is Sips.
Hi.
From Jersey. And Ted.
Good afternoon.
Ted Woodpyrian, Alphage, Heath.
Poor Ted.
Good afternoon.
Poor Ted.
Sorry. So how are you guys doing this week? You been up to anything fun? You had a nice time? You done anything enjoyable? Or have you just... Is it just zip by like all time and life? You know, suddenly. So, did you ever blink and think, "Damn, time is"? Sorry, I haven't turned my phone off. Obviously,
do you ever blink and think, "My dink is pink"?
Do you ever?
I wink.
Do you ever think like
and
like,
stink?
I have these moments, okay, where I'm like, man, time has gone by.
Yeah.
Occasionally, because you're excited for something, you're like, oh, I'm looking forward to this holiday, looking forward to this thing. And then it's over, like a flash. Like life flickers by fast sometimes.
Mm,
and
it does,
sometimes
yeah.
Do you ever stop to think about that? How fast time goes by? I don't know. I'm just like, I'm going to blink and I'll be an old man, I think, tomorrow.
It does go very quickly. It's true.
There's an old saying that goes, life's a bitch and then you die.
Yep.
That's why we get high, because you never know when you're going to go. That's... It's an ancient proverb from Queensbridge.
It was written on parchment and passed down.
That's exactly it, yeah. So
from the ancient ones.
Yeah, I think my brain pretty much like every second of every day at some level is thinking, holy crap, yeah, time is passing.
I wouldn't change anything. I mean, the thing is, time passes faster when you're busy and also when you're enjoying yourself.
True.
When you're not having the perception of time, like if you're bored and there's nothing, or you're waiting for something,
yeah,
an hour can stretch on forever.
Oh,
whereas,
yeah.
You load up RimWorld and suddenly like 4 days of your life have like vanished down a hole and you're like,
RimWorld never did that for me. I don't know why.
You're not exactly happy at the end of it either because of all the fucking bullshit that game throws at you too. But that's another
It's a trial, subject. but it's I don't know, like there's a certain happiness in getting things done, especially if you like finish it or something like that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't think you get the same satisfaction from those kind of open-ended games as you do from putting down, like closing the last page of a book and putting it up there and being like,
I think if it's done well, like in Witcher 3, I think it was done perfectly because it felt like an open world game, but there was a plot, like a definite plot to follow.
Yeah.
That was itself a really exciting and a good story. And it was unexpected and there was crazy stuff and weird stuff and funny bits. And it was like, to me, Witcher 3 was the best role playing game ever made for the PC. Like it blew me away. And I finished it a couple of months ago because I sort of started playing it, stopped, went away, came back, and I got back into other games, and then I picked it up again and I'd forgotten how to play. So I had to start it all over again from scratch. And I played it all the way through, and it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
It's good. It's a really good one.
I think that's what RimWorld... not RimWorld, sorry. Skyrim lacked.
I think that's what RimWorld should be more like.
It should be an open world fantasy game.
Should
obviously.
Just be better.
But Skyrim lacked that. I mean, it's like, oh, you make your own story. But most of the time, you're walking around in a village looking at a tiger who's saying, you know, stupid stuff to you. It just kind of, it lacked coherence to me. And it was like, oh, there's a dragon over there. I mean, that's in Witcher. You're like, oh, shit, there's a monster over there. I'm going to go fight it. Whereas in Skyrim, it was like, I'm just going to mosey around and maybe I'll find a cave and go down there and get owned by vampires or something.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed all these games, but I feel like The Witcher did suffer a bit from that Skyrim thing of you have to save the world. The world is in peril. And by the way, if you'd want, you could wander around for 22 weeks just pissing about, just doing anything, helping out a gran, you know, digging
a
hole.
Yeah, they would say... They're closing in on the tower, and you're like, "Let me just gather these herbs real quick."
And it's like, okay. I mean, I always thought that sort of sucked a bit of the story joy of out of those types of games. Then again, I do prefer the ones that let me set my own pace. I don't know. Gaming is really interesting. It's a bit of something for everyone. And I encourage you to just try everything until you find what makes you happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to get a lot of pleasure out of finishing games. I think back in the day, and more recently, you know, I was talking about Wolfenstein and Doom.
Yeah,
those experiences were very, very good.
Doom, yeah.
You know, you just you played through the whole thing, and there wasn't too much side action going on. Not too overwhelming, because I sometimes think it's like there's too many choices. Sometimes if you're arguing with your significant other about where to get food, if you give her two choices, right, then it's much easier for her to pick. Whereas if you give her 15, it's like, yeah, you're overwhelmed with choice and you can't decide at all.
Yeah.
It's like as a vegetarian, I find it very easy to order from menus now because there's only two choices. So I'm like, oh, I'll have potato
or chips.
I will have, I guess I'm having one of these two, so I'll have that one.
Have you ever had chips with mashed potato on the side?
Well, I'm not talking about you at a steak restaurant, Sips. Like, you know, going to Morton's and go with you as a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Them looking at you like down their nose, like some surprisingly Victorian school teacher.
I don't know. They're surprisingly accommodating, though. Funny how that works. Like, they still
want to
make
money.
They
want you to eat up and get the fuck out before you ruin their reputation. So yeah,
we're gonna bring you the mashed potato with bacon bits. You're just gonna have to suck those and spit them out.
Morton's was it's not it's at, like I like going because like the people that I'm with always like really want to go and stuff, and it's fun. Like the food, like, is, you know, what I can eat there is really nice, and like all the steaks and stuff look pretty good and stuff too. But like, I'm surprised every time I'm in America, like, just how much bacon they put on, like, everything.
Oh, God.
Like, everything just comes with bacon by default.
Yeah, crazy.
they really love
it's
bacon.
It's not really real either, is it? Because I've seen, like, I saw how it's made. It's kind of made incredibly artificially. You know, they actually, like, it's almost like with a giant printer. They basically just get this big load of pink ink and a big load of white ink, and they just literally kind of splodge it out onto this thing, and they slice it up.
It tastes as good as it
incredibly
sounds.
It tastes, boy, is that ever appetizing. Wow.
I mean, at least the English bacon is kind of, you know, slices of that resemble something.
At least
off
that's
of
a living thing that was murdered and then turned into bacon. I mean,
I suppose American bacon might well be vegetarian. A lot of these things are. Like chicken pot noodles are vegan, I think, actually.
It's just powder, isn't it? It's just onion
powder. Entirely chemicals,
like
flavoring
and stuff, yeah.
By the way, there's been a tweet directed to us at the Triforce podcast from Laura, who says, "I'm the girl that Lewis met at the traffic lights. I do love the Triforce podcast as well." So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Laura. Wow. There you go.
Shout
Lucy
out
didn't
to
even
Laura.
Ask her what her name is.
Yeah, I didn't even ask her what her name was. You know, I'm that kind of guy. Just love him and leave him.
She said, according to her Twitter profile, she's a crazy feminist, award-winning writer.
I mean, she's an award-winning writer.
Crazy feminist and a crazy cat lady.
She loves tea. She whines about job hunting and pines over her cat as well.
Oh,
cool.
Well, I'm terribly allergic to cats. I've learned this mistake.
Well,
you know,
that's not going
to
happen then.
Yeah, it's kind of a deal breaker. I mean, that was why me and Hannah broke up. It was like, you know, she wanted cats. I didn't want cats. Well, I couldn't have cats.
Right.
I was infertile for cats, I guess. I was unable to conceive cats.
All right, talking of conceiving, right? I've got a question for you. I've got a bird table in my garden now. I think I've mentioned it previously. And
nice.
The birds are all over, right? They love it. First ones out there, when we put it out, were the robin. Brave, brave Mr. Robin came flying out like a shot because I put mealworms out there and they
Boldly
love them.
Boldly brave Sir Robin.
Yeah, he just came flying out. He was like, yeah, bird table, whoa. And now over the couple of months that we've had it, other birds have seen this brave robin like leading the charge to the bird table. Now they're all turning up. We've had all sorts.
Is it like a cheese board then?
Yeah, it's got seeds and a large selection of seeds on one side. Ten,
are they
like
in
10
bowls?
Different varieties. No, they're just a selection.
Right.
It's like it looks like
what
a gazebo.
Mean a selection?
I mean, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of
seeds. Do they try to dump the seeds out on the ground so that
all the
birds can get it? Because I've seen that happen.
Hang on. Is it got like a tube feeder or something?
No. Like,
why don't
I
describe this
I
bird
would love
table to
explain it to you. All right, let me describe the fucking bird table, lads. I'm in the middle of describing it, and you're asking me questions about what
it
looks like.
We're
interested.
I'm trying
to tell you.
Is it made of stone?
No, it's made of. It's a wooden table on a long sort of leg, if you like. So it looks like a hat stand, but instead of the curly thing for hanging hats and coats on at the top, it's like a little house, like a little gazebo house that's open on all sides with a little roof.
Yeah, I know.
And
okay.
It's got a platform under the roof that where you like it's about the size of a bowl, a large bowl. So imagine a large mixing bowl. That's the sort of circumference, okay? So,
okay.
Did you get this?
I got it in a garden centre.
Okay, good.
Right, Squire's good. Garden Centre. Shout out to Squire's.
How much was it?
I don't know, 60 quid or something like
that. Is it painted?
Yeah, it's fully finished and
does
everything.
Does it have like decking stain on it so that it doesn't go
Yes, it's treated for
shit.
Weather, right? So
good.
One half of the table I put seeds.
How have you attached it to the ground?
It's on a stand. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like a hat rack or a coat rack.
Am I fucking? Can you guys hear me? Chat test.
But it's a single post. I didn't realize you got all this for 60 quid.
I said to you, it's like a coat stand or a hat stand. And you
it
were
sounds
like
something that Jacob Rees-Mogg would get for his fucking tidiest child.
Yeah, I get it, man. I was looking at those, but like.
Yes, bilious. Go out and live in the garden.
Well, you know what? Some of us don't live in a fucking basement, mate. That's what the problem is here. You haven't got a garden or the outdoors. You live underground like a mole man.
It's a garden flat. It's a basement garden flat. It's got a garden. I've got a garden.
Yeah, why don't you get a fucking hat stand bird bath thing as well?
Can we go back to my question? It's an important question.
What's your question?
So, I saw a robin on the table, like, as usual, he's out there. And along comes Mr. Blue Tip, right? And they're hanging out, and they don't seem to mind each other. And I'm thinking, how come robins and blue tits don't have like half robin, half blue tit kids? Why don't they get it on? How are they so into their own particular species of bird that you never get a crossbreed? Where's the half pigeon, half magpie? Where is it? Where's the pig pie?
I see what you mean.
You know
where's
what I'm
the
saying?
Mongrel?
Where's the pig pie? Yeah.
Where's the half crow?
Because there's always mongrel dogs all over the
something
place.
Something else. Yeah.
There.
But dogs all came from one species. So I guess they're just able to identify another dog. But you've got all these different species of bird that are the same size and roughly pretty much the same damn bird, but they're not getting it on with each other. Why not? What's stopping them? Would it be possible is my question? And if so, how come it doesn't happen very much? Because you'd think if you're stuck, I mean, look at the palaver you got to go through as a male bird to get a female bird interested, right? You'd think at that point they wouldn't be too fussy. And they'd just be like, any female bird that shows any lick of interest, I'm all over that and we're making some eggs.
Do they tweet? Mm. Do they sing to each other? Is that how they do it? Like,
they do,
is that
yeah.
How
they
right. And the best singer like gets all the
pussy. I
think
pussy. Maybe the women are very, very picky. That might be it.
What? And they're like, oh, I'm not sleeping with no blue tit. I mean, are birds racist is the question I'm asking.
I believe so.
Bush tit.
Blue tit.
I think they are racist. Actually, yeah.
Why are you calling it a bush tit?
I don't know.
It sounds funny, so.
Bush tit.
Sounds funnier than blue tit.
Bush tit.
Well, great tit. I think all of them
great tit.
Great tit is as good as it gets, honestly.
A big tit. Mm.
So are you just, let me just paint this picture here. So you wake up in the morning, there's a little bit of bird song.
Yeah.
You stride out of, you rise out of your bed. Mm. Fully erect and nude.
Yeah.
And you walk over to the window, you pull the curtains aside, and you hold up your cup of tea, and you sip it, and you look out at the birds frolicking, enjoying their mealworms on the
That's not far off the way
table.
It is, it's true.
And you just, you open your window a little crack, and you sniff the morning air, and you're like, ah, oh, life is good.
Yeah.
Is that
the
average
far
morning?
Off my morning, yeah.
Yeah.
I wake up. If the kids are still asleep, I'll go downstairs. I've got one of those old fashioned kettles you have to put on the hob because it makes a pleasing whistling sound and it feels a bit more.
Oh, you haven't.
Yeah.
It feels a bit
more dadsy, you know? So I
put
that
on
there.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And that wakes everyone up with the little whistle.
Yeah, a little whistle.
It's like a little, it's a nice comforting sound, isn't it?
So I open the, we've got like those, yeah, exactly.
Have one of those.
But charming.
It's like an air raid
not
siren.
Just like that. It's a pleasing sound, okay?
You make the Mickey Mouse pancakes.
No, God no. Yeah. Mrs. F makes the pancakes. I'm rubbish at it. She's really good. So,
and then we've got pancakes. Yay, Daddy! Everyone runs downstairs. Oh, it's heaven. I imagine it just as this track. Oh, have you seen my slippers, young lady? Oh, yes, Daddy. Let me fetch them for you. Oh, look, the morning newspaper's arrived. Hello, postman. Hello, young child. Oh, look what's in the newspaper today. It's like, oh, God, let me... Oh, you sit down outside, you put your feet up. Oh, It's heaven. It's heaven.
This is my life. You know, I mean, you think you're joking, but this is literally what it is.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful dream. It's everyone's dream.
Yeah.
Did you, I mean, what was it like when you were a kid though? Did you have these like this warm family kind of environment of things like that whistling kettle that woke you up in the morning? Do you have any of this stuff?
No, not really. I mean,
I remember my dad had to wake me up very early to go to school every day, and he was very good at it. You know, I had to go because I went to school in Chelmsford, which was about an hour's or hour and a half's journey from where I lived every morning. And, you know, you had to be there for 8:45 or 8:30 every morning. So, you know, that meant I was up at like 6 in the morning every day.
And what the hell did you do on your commute in that day and age? Like, that must have been really boring.
Honestly, it was hell. 7 years of like an hour and a half to school every morning was hell. I vowed never to get a bus anywhere ever again after that 7 years. And I have not stuck to that. I get buses all the time. I like buses though. I guess like 7 years of an hour and a half and back every day on a bus has
I think the bus problem has been solved though, thanks to phones and iPads and stuff like that. Like I
that's
think
that's true.
If you have an hour and a half 4G. commute, yeah, whatever, just read fine, just catch up on some Netflix or whatever.
It really wasn't too bad. I did a lot of homework on the bus, which was actually totally, sounds like it's bad, but it was such a long bus ride that, you know.
You didn't have to do it the night before. I mean, why not do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I did mine on the way in because I'd forgotten it. And inevitably, someone would say, did you do the geography homework? And I'd say, what geography homework? And they'd say, this one, you idiot. I'd quickly do it. I had like half an hour. So it sucked.
Yeah.
I was bad at school. I hated it. I hated the homework. I hated all of it.
School.
I'd have this routine like where, because I'm still the same today, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this, where you have multiple alarms to wake yourself up, right? So you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, I'm kind of awake, but my alarm's gonna go off in half an hour, so I'll sort of doze for half an hour and do that. So when I was a kid, it was sort of the other way around. So I would wake up in the freezing cold in my room. For some reason, my room was like freezing cold. So I'd get up, put a dressing gown and slippers on, and I'd go into like this soft chair like near the kitchen.
Yeah.
While my dad, I don't know, cooked something, like made some porridge or something, and potted around. So I would wake myself up over the course of about 20 minutes lying there in the kitchen, freezing cold. And then, you know, he would send me off about, you know, quarter seven or something. Man,
I used to walk to school with like a couple of friends, and my alarm clock was literally the doorbell when my friends would turn up and be like, hey, you ready? just give me like 1 minute and I would just like quickly get dressed and like grab my stuff and brush my teeth.
That was when you were a bit older though,
stuff.
Must be right.
Yeah.
You know, was it
really little, like, yeah, I was like my mom would wake me up and I'd be ready to go and stuff. But yeah, like when I was older.
I mean, this was the sort of the time I remember is between, I don't know, for like when I started secondary school through to like, you know, a couple of years, like when I was like 11 through like 13 or whatever.
I think school's weird though, because I think school's really important when you're really, really young, but it's less important, I think, when you hit like around sort of like 10 years old.
30, 35, you think it's less important?
When you're between the ages of like 10 and say 16, I don't think school is like at all important at that point. Like, I think it's just because there's nowhere else for you to be. So you like have to go to school so somebody can keep an eye on you, sort of thing. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure from the age of 10 to 16, like, I didn't learn shit at school. Like, I didn't
I feel like you probably learned a lot of shit, but it wasn't really applicable for anything. At a certain point, you're learning stuff that you're never going to use.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd learned Latin and, you know, all of this biology and physics stuff that I actually never ended up using, even though I did a degree in chemistry. I learned a whole bunch of, like, a lot of the stuff, the way I always described it, though, was you show the capacity for learning. Yeah, that's what exams are. It's almost like this incredibly tedious test.
Yeah, they teach you how to learn and how to be resourceful and how to find stuff out and stuff. I get that. But I think that, like, really, it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm not saying that like a 10 to 16-year-old needs a babysitter, but it is just kind of glorified babysitting, isn't it? Because it's like, where else is a 10 to 16-year-old person going to go on a daily basis all day? Like, they can't really go to a job.
Yeah.
So like, you know, and you don't want them just hanging out at the mall all day either, because that's kind of weird. So, like, you might as well go to school and socialize with people.
If I would have had my own choice, I would have never left my room. I would have just played video games all day, every day, like I did on the summer holidays.
Yeah,
anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. But
and like, I think school was a pretty good thing to get you socialized. And
like, you know, like, a lot of parents work and stuff, and they'd worry about you if you were just home all day in your room playing it. Like, you know, you probably wouldn't really feed or water yourself, and then they'd come home and they'd have like a 10-year-old who died of like a heart attack because he doesn't sleep or eat or anything sort of thing. And that's why school exists, is the TLDR on that one.
So yeah, I mean, I have these sort of cozy, I guess, memories associated with being a kid. And I wonder a little bit what your kids are gonna have as their cozy memories associated. But I think that sort of whistling cat, that routine of that comfortable, safe, cozy... Mm. It's a nice thing, right? It's a nice thing to
have. It is. There's so much comfort in my kids' lives compared to when I was a kid. Like, when I think about my eldest daughter, she's like 8 and a half. At that point, my parents had just got divorced. Like, so I'd moved to the UK and everything was really miserable and we didn't know what was going to happen. And when I started secondary school, so I was like, when I was about 11 or 12 and everything, you know, the flat that we were living in, we didn't have central heat and we didn't have double glazing. And all we had were these gas fires that you had to hold down a button and fire them up like old school, like click, click, click. And this thing would come on and a tiny amount of heat would emit from this thing. And see, we wake up in the morning, it'd be freezing cold, like absolutely freezing cold in the house. There'd be frost on like the inside of the windows. It was that fucking cold in the house. And I'd have to get up at about 6:30 in the morning to get into school for 8:20 because it was similarly a very long way to school. It was like a 2-bus journey and all the rest of it. And I'd go into the living room, my mum would bring me some breakfast, and all there was on television in those days was Laurel and Hardy, Harold Lloyd, or The Three Stooges on BBC Two from like 6:30 till 7. That was my TV. So I watched these ancient like slapstick comedies for like half an hour, glumly eating my breakfast. And then because my clothes would be so cold, I would warm them in front of the fire and then put them on as fast as I could to try and warm up and then go and get the bus.
It's like some Victorian.
This is this, bearing in mind, this is the fucking 80s, not the 1920s. That fucking England in a nutshell for you. What the fuck?
It was so bad. And
oh, I don't know. It's character building.
No,
though,
it was
it.
Like
and
dark. I'm going to school. There was no one on the bus with me because my best friend, by the way, I'll tell
I'm
you
sure
more about him
in a
sec.
People still have this, except for now they're watching Everybody Loves Raymond in the morning. Do you know what I mean? It's probably exactly the same for a lot
shit.
Of our...
I don't remember ever being cold when I was a kid, and I grew up in a fucking country and in a region of the world where it was like minus 40 for 6 months of the year, and I was never cold. So what the fuck, England? Get your shit together.
I think that we're just not very good at dealing with it, though. You know, you are very aware. It's like where you live. If you live somewhere that snows all the time,
yeah,
you are completely adept at dealing with that. That is totally a normal thing. Whereas when the 1 or 2 days that it snows in the UK, the whole place just shuts down.
Yeah, we don't know what to do.
No, and so it's the same thing with cold.
We literally don't know what to do
because the climate's usually so mild. Yeah. We don't have air conditioning anywhere. It's just not a thing, you know. Whereas I guess in Canada, it just feels like it's built around that. Certainly when I went to Vancouver, you know, sometimes it felt like I was at a ski resort in a way, because you'd walk into places and you'd realize, oh, okay, this place is built with in mind that people are going to come trudging in here with the massive freezing snow jackets and covered in, you know, welly boots kind of thing. Uh-huh. You know, it felt like a lot more like that, but prepared for it and to deal with it. It was interesting. I mean, we've not had a hard time, you know. But also, I think some of these memories are good in a way, P-Flex, you know, like huddling up around the TV and heading off early when it's dark. I mean, it's exciting for a kid to be able to do that stuff, I think, and fun.
Are you fucking nuts, homie?
What?
Yeah,
are you fucking nuts?
Crazy.
I went into school. It was dark on my way into school. I was the only person on the bus. It was depressing. It was really depressing. I was cold and hungry and fed up before I got to school. Oh, it's character building.
It's character
building. Where are you from?
It's so built.
I mean... I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who are exactly the same position today. You know,
yeah,
obviously,
it's not good. Oh, it's character. You sound like a Tory. You sound like fucking Rees-Mogg.
What do you mean? No, I don't.
I believe it's character building for these poor people to endure and feel shitty.
I had to do this as well.
Think of the stories.
P-flat.
Think of the stories.
I wasn't
they
driven
have.
To school in some sort of golden carriage on a horse.
I know, but
Cormoran, bring round the carriage for young Brindley. Oh, has you got his foot warmers today? Make sure his tootsies don't get cold. It wasn't any of that. It was the same shit I had.
Right, and do you think it was cool? Or do you look back now on it fondly because you don't live that way now? Imagine if you'd lived like that all your life and you were like, fuck me, life is horrible.
Let's put it this way. I wouldn't change it. You know, I think it's formed a part of who I am, and the memories are positive in general. They're not negative, really. Yeah. It's okay. When you're a kid, also, you sometimes get used to it as well, or anything. You know, people get used to stuff.
Yeah.
This is all justifications for keeping people poor. You know that. These are the same arguments.
Yeah.
They're used to it. They don't mind it that way. That's just how
they live. Whoa. That's not what I'm implying.
I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm saying the arguments you're making are very reminiscent of people who think poor people are just that way.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, the
very
thing is, like, I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about someone who chooses to live out in the sticks, right? In an old whistling barn house or whatever. And they're not poor, you know.
Right,
I mean,
but that's someone who's put themselves in that situation. That's someone who
said...
You
weren't poor.
Yes, we were fucking poor. We were really poor. Yes,
your breakfast was like, you know, you like... So what, are you sort of round in an old blanket, a dirty old blanket, eating like your breakfast, which is a tin of beans cooked on a fucking raw fire?
You want me to be like Charlie Chaplin poor?
A fucking fire in a holy barrel, like out in an alley.
Like one of those braziers. Me and the other tramps would wake me up. School boy. And I had to pick pockets on my way in and out of school.
Well, that's the picture you're
today,
painting.
Boy? Oh, I stole some silver from the school dinner room. Master, oh good, give it here. We'll buy some drugs with it. That's what we do.
My like childhood was like fucking Fargo. Like in the morning, we'd have to walk to school. It was like a 15-minute walk. And if it was winter, you'd just have to like put on a lot of layers, and we'd had face warmers and scarves and like toques and gloves and whatever. And I'd get to school after walking for like 15 minutes, and I'm not even joking, like there would be little balls of ice at the end of each and every one of my eyelashes, like it was that cold.
Wow.
And then you turn up and, you know, it was just like the usual, like your teacher would be like, cold out, eh? Yeah, sure is.
You said you were never cold a second ago.
I wasn't. I like we had everything. We had like good heating.
You were fully prepared for it.
We had all the clothes that we needed and stuff. Like I was never actually like freezing cold, but it was just like still kind of shitty. And I don't think my character like is all built up like off the back of that. It was just a really shitty experience, and I'm glad I don't have to ever do it again.
Well, I don't know. Like, maybe that's a thing then. Maybe. I mean, I get it. It would have been nicer to have the school next door and just to, you know, wake up, roll out of bed at, you know, 8:15, pull some clothes on, and then, you know, in the nice hot weather.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and eat a banana on the way, and oh, you know, pick a fresh fucking orange off the bush as you walk in. Do you know what I mean?
Sniff a tulip on your way in and contemplate a little bit and stuff. Be nice.
But, you know, obviously that's not what I had. And, you know, it's still... I wouldn't change it, that's all. I'm just... I thought it was... you can find joy in all of these hardships.
Such a lunatic.
P-flex.
You're such a lunatic.
What do you mean?
It was horrible. My childhood was very miserable. We were very poor and unhappy, and it was not cool. And I do not consider it character forming at all. And I want my kids to be comfortable and not have to have a shitty life. So I just can't believe
them, P-flex. They're going to be soft. They're not going to be hardened by the rough edges of reality. Yeah. They're going to be infantilized for the Western.
They're children. They're meant to be infantilized. They are children. They are 8 and 5. They are meant to be infantilized at that age.
Of course.
I was talking about the
adult.
I know. Anyway, my point is kids are still very able to endure. And for example, our kids were having trouble sleeping, and eventually we figured out what it was, because one of them said to us, they came upstairs, I was away, and sometimes when I'm away, they both sleep upstairs with Mrs. F, because they know they can get away with it when I'm not there. And so they're all sleeping in Mrs. F's bed, and in our bed, I should say, and they said, wow, your bed's so comfortable, not like ours at all. And my wife goes, what do you mean? Your beds are fine. She goes downstairs and lies on the mattress, and it's like a really awful, because they've had them for a few years and they've just worn them down. So it was like sleeping on the bare rafters of the bed. My wife felt so guilty. She's like, oh my God, why didn't you say anything? And they were just like, well, we just thought, you know, this is the mattresses that you got us. They just didn't think to complain. So you're like, oh, my God. So we felt awful, rushed out.
You got like hunchback kids. They're all crippled.
Oh, it was so bad. But they didn't even think
to. I haven't had a good sleep
in years. Yeah. They didn't think to
my
complain.
My back's all crooked.
Daddy.
I'm all hunched over.
My legs, Daddy. I can't feel them. Yeah, it was bad. But then we got the new mattresses,
man.
And they were like, oh, these are so great. They were so happy. And now they sleep in. We have to wake them up in the mornings, which is, it's great. But they didn't complain. So I think
maybe
kids
need to get them
just
slightly less comfortable ones so they actually wake up.
Well,
you have to find the balance between not too comfortable ones.
So I think if I put a pea under the mattress, perhaps my two princesses will, oh, Father, I couldn't sleep a wink with that pea under the mattress.
Before that, it was like, please don't send me to bed, Daddy, not with all the rats and the mold in the mattress. Oh, it makes it so hard to breathe. I'm suffering from the fungus lung. Oh, my back
lung.
Is so crooked. So
popcorn
crooked.
Lung would be more likely.
I wish I could hear the birds in the morning, but over the sound of the rats chewing away at the mattress.
Oh God, we found a dead mouse under my freezer the other day. Did I tell you about this?
Under your freezer?
Did I mention this last night?
I think I heard it at some point.
You
told me this.
Mrs. F was working from home, and she said, "God, there's such a bad smell down here. You've got to do something about it. It must be the freezer." Pulled the freezer out, and I was like, there's nothing back here. And the freezer was a little whiffy. Like, you know, it's like an 8-year-old freezer. It's a slight smell of, like, not chemicals, but some machinery, you know, that kind of machinery smells, and, you know, it's making a thing. So I'm thinking, maybe she can just smell like the freezer doing its thing. So I push it back in, and a dead mouse falls out from under the freezer, must have been hidden up under the freezer, falls out, maggots on it and everything. And she was like, like this.
Oh,
and I was like,
God,
don't worry
about
it.
Same. Fuck me.
But the cat must have brought it in, and then it must have scurried under the freezer. And the cat was like, well, I can't fucking catch it now, and just wandered off, leaving this poor thing to die under the freezer.
Yeah.
But it was grim, man. It was really
grim. That's gross. That's really
so
gross.
What did you do? Just get a plastic bag, kind of cover it up, scoop it up, and
just scraped off the maggots and chucked it in the frying pan, and we had the mouse surprise dinner.
Well, you know, we don't get much treats. Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth.
When I was a kid, we would have seen this as a treasure trove of food.
Protein.
No, I just...
I would have killed someone for a maggot-infested mouse pop, you tell me.
With free maggot sauce on top. I
haven't eaten in years.
You kids, you're too darn spoiled.
I'm going to skin that mouse and wear it like a sock to replace my 10-year-old one.
Open the windows and let all the heat out. It's too darn comfortable in here. Get it nice and cold and frosty.
I'm going to have to dry and cure this skin myself by pissing on it and hanging it out over the fireplace.
Oh.
It's going to stick out the place for a couple of weeks, but it'll be worth it.
Jesus Christ.
Well, listen to this masterstroke, my fellows. When my son, when my wife was pregnant with the baby, okay, my son had like this like sort of novelty toddler bed, you know, it was really low to the ground and stuff, really shitty mattress. You know, you could like take it apart and put it back together again. It was shaped like a car and stuff. And that was cool. He liked it, sort of thing. But like he got too big for it, and it was uncomfortable. And we found same thing as your kid's Flax. He was just like in our bed every night, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
And we couldn't figure out why. We thought he was having bad dreams or something like that. And then it turns out that actually his bed was just really uncomfortable, and he didn't really like it that much. So we're like, all right, fuck it. We're not going to just get him another, like, you know, novelty bed or whatever. Let's get him like a full size single bed, you know, like a proper single bed with like a, you know, like with a box frame and like a good mattress and everything. And then we have it in case, you know, he does want to like, you know, sleep in our bed or whatever, one of us can sleep in that bed because it'll just be like a comfy single bed, right? And like with the baby coming, you know, maybe somebody would want to sleep in that if the baby's up all night.
Oh my God, I've got an idea where this story's going
so,
now.
So we had it all planned out. And I'm telling you, it's been fucking great because every once in a while, like when shit kicks off in the middle of the night and then you find that your bed is filled with children or whatever, I just sneak away and go sleep in his bed instead. And then sometimes when I'm in his room, I feel like I'm fucking 7 years old again because like he's got all these cool toys in his room and he's got like airplanes hanging from the ceiling and stuff. And,
well,
and his
long story short,
bed is like really comfy and stuff. And I'm like,
Sips is now sleeping in his kid's room.
I'm
permanently
like fucking old and sweaty and I stink and stuff. And I'm sleeping in his bed. It's hilarious. It's nice though. It works out pretty well actually.
Oh my God, that's great. Yeah. That's really funny. And then your wife comes in and wakes you up. Up in the morning, time for school, honey. And so you're like, oh, I don't want to go to school today, Mom.
My daughter's doing this thing now where she like every morning she wakes me up, but she like it's like she's like making offerings or something. So like I'm sort of like half being woken up and not paying attention because I'm still asleep. And then she'll like the other day she was like stroking my eyebrows, okay? And that woke me up. And I woke up and I was just surrounded by toys. Like she just put toys all around me, like on my bed. I was like,
oh,
what's going on?
God.
Like, I didn't know what was going on. But then, you know, there was like toys everywhere. I had like a miniature.
That's really creepy.
I had a miniature Thomas the Tank Engine toy like lodged in my ass crack. Like I rolled over onto it and I didn't realize. Like that's how surrounded by toys I was.
Is that what you told them at the hospital as well?
Yeah. It's like it wasn't a sex thing, I promise. I don't have a thing for Gordon the Blue Engine.
He's Mr. Lovitz, this is the third time this month that we found things
for no
out of
reason.
Your ass crack. Last time it was SpongeBob, and before that it was a Buzz Lightyear doll. And now a Thomas the Tank Engine. It's strange that your kid keeps putting so many things in your bed, and they managed to find their way up your ass crack.
Yeah, God.
We're gonna just keep looping you up and dealing with this.
Nurse, put him on a course of being fully lubricated at all times. I don't want lube levels to drop below 99% on this one. It's pretty important.
Yeah, we want the blood lube ratio to be 1-7.
The blood lube ratio.
So honestly, like, man, I think that is something out of a horror film, though, a little bit. Like, creepy child kind of doing weird stuff to you, making you a shrine. Did she have, like, a circle of candles around you or something as well?
No, it wasn't that elaborate, but there was quite a few toys piled up on my bed. And then she can't climb up the bed. She's still too small to climb up on top of the bed, so she'll just sit at the side of the bed if she wants to come up and go up, up, up. Like, I'm still sleeping and kind of ignoring her. It's just up, up, up. It's just like, it gets more desperate. And then eventually
you're
like,
having like a dream
fine.
About being in a hot air balloon. Yeah. And you haven't got enough height and you're someone shouting up and you're like, oh, I'm crashing, you know. And then that's what happens when someone says something to you. It goes into your dreams, doesn't it? And messes
with
them.
But then so then I lift her up onto the bed and then she like instantly laughs and climbs off the bed, runs around to the side again and goes up, up, like she thinks that, like that's fun, just being picked up onto the bed just so she can jump
I suppose
off.
That's a nice way again. To wake up of a morning.
Well,
you know, I don't know. Also, I think maybe that's a kind of a troll thing, though, right? Because when your friends used to fall asleep, you put things, balance things on their head.
Thing, right, at sleepovers. It's like, okay, somebody go get a bowl of warm water and we're going to put Johnny's hand in the water and he's going to piss his pants. Like, does that even work? Did you guys ever have any success with that? Like,
we did the sleeping. Someone's asleep, you let him sleep, for Christ's sake. I hate it when someone's fucking around.
Like, we had a couple of instances where, like, a guy had his head shaved in his sleep and his eyebrows shaved off in his sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And a magic marker.
Or you put some toothpaste on their face and they smear it all over.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of shit. But, like, I guess it's, like, maybe, like, one of those, like, urban myths or something that if you put a guy's hand in water, he'll piss his pants. But, like, we never got anyone to piss their pants. Like, that
no,
just
did
not
No, we tried
work.
It. We definitely tried it a couple of times. Well, loads
Let's find
times.
Out if it
we
works. Did.
Okay.
We're still trying it.
We're
still trying it today.
We're sleuthing.
One day, we're going to get it to work.
One day, we're going to force somebody
They myth-busted it.
Oh, did they?
It was busted. It is untrue.
Yeah, I figured. I mean, we definitely tried like a dozen times or so, and it didn't work.
These stupid urban myths. It's weird how these things perpetuate themselves as well, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole Michael Jackson removing his rib thing. To give himself a blowjob. Except for it wasn't him, was it?
We've been through this before. Marilyn Manson that did
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah,
I thought it was Yuri Geller. I can imagine doing that. I don't know why.
No, he just bent his ribs with his mind, and then
I could just imagine it. I could just imagine if anyone's going to be doing it, Yuri Geller would be a guy who would do that.
Man, wasn't Yuri Geller on like Celebrity Big Brother one year, and he was just fucking weird and creepy as you'd expect.
He is weird and creepy.
Yeah.
I remember he was on what show was he on? Might have been The Tonight Show. Like, he's been around for a fucking long time, Yuri Geller.
I know, but his whole thing is that he knew Michael Jackson. And, like, that's all he has to talk about.
And he can bend spoons, right? That's it.
Yeah.
And do you remember a guy called James Randi? Have you heard of this guy?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Amazing Randi.
No. Well, I think he's a magician, but he's very anti...
He was a professional magician, and he's a debunker.
He's a debunker, that's right. So he's like anti psychic powers, and
anti magic.
He's offered $100,000 to someone who can prove to him that it's possible. And he had a show where people would come on, and he would go on talk shows and debunk stuff. And I think he was on the show with Yuri Geller. And saying to him, all right, do your thing. And Yuri Geller was like, well, you know, backing out of it and basically saying he couldn't do it sort of thing. And there was a whole bunch in the 70s. This stuff was really big. And it was people like James Randi that sort of shot it down. But the weird thing to me is that he had this TV show where people could come on and try and prove that their stupid trick, which was clearly not real, worked. And it would have to be under these conditions that he would set. And they would still go on the show and try and do their stupid shit, even though it obviously isn't going to be possible because they can't set it up the way they have to have it set up. Like, there was this guy in the 70s. He was like a karate guy, apparently, although I don't know how good he was at karate. And he claimed he could turn the pages of a phone book with the power of his mind.
Right.
You can find this on the internet. There's all clips of it. But what he was actually doing... He was blowing, he'd figured out a way to blow an extremely concentrated stream of air to turn a page, and he would make it look like it was with his chi power, and he opened up all these karate schools where he'd teach you chi power and all this kind of crap, and he had like a really, really weird thin pencil mustache. He was a weird guy. So James Randi said, okay, I want you to do this, but I'm going to put these little styrofoam beads all over the paper, and I want you to see if you can do it without, you know, without them moving in any way other than... The page turning. So the page is there. There's all these styrofoam beads. And of course, if he blows, he's going to blow the styrofoam everywhere. It's going to be super obvious what's happening. And they wanted to do it with like a screen in front of it. And he just couldn't do it. He said it was maybe the lights or the chi energy wasn't right and everything. It was just fascinating to me that there were all these people out there convinced that they could even do it with James Randi standing next to them. Who's going to say, all right, you can do it. But, you know, and he'd insert some other obstacle and they'd be like, oh, no, I can't do it. And they rather than just say it's a fair cop, you got me, they would always try and claim it.
There would always be some excuse,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It was, they were so adept at making these fraudsters are so adept at being caught and being challenged that they have an incredible selection of excuses for why on any given day... The currents in the room aren't just, I'm not, you know, the spirits aren't talking to me or something. Oh, it's
crazy. The way they cling to
bollocks.
It is amazing.
Yeah, so that was this $1 million paranormal charity. I mean, he's a really old man now. He's like 88, but I mean, he's been around for a long time as a big sort of debunker. And I guess he's sort of retired now. But I do remember watching a documentary with him quite a while ago. And yeah, he went, and I think they went into some churches where they were doing this, you know, healing by or cold reading of people, and they basically, I think they found that this guy was like able to sort of this preacher was cold reading people about saying, oh yeah, I heard your Uncle Sammy is poorly, and people were like, what? How do you know that? And it was all because he had this earpiece.
His wife, was
is that, yeah.
But the amazing thing is he got people to fill out those cards at the start when they came in. Write down on this card all the shit that's wrong with you and everyone else in your family, and then put it in this box with your name on it. And then she would read to him, all right, her name is Scylla. She's in row 4F and her dad's got a bad toe. And he would know. And I'm thinking, wouldn't you put two and two together and think, hang on, I wrote that on my card that I was asked to do at the start of the show? Like, how are people so dense?
I know, but the thing is, those shows are pretty entertaining. Like, we saw one in Vegas, and like, you could spend hours trying to figure out like how he does it or whatever. But the actual show itself was pretty funny. Like, it was interesting and stuff. And
I think it's
worth
fine
it
if
on
it's
that
for
basis.
Fun.
Yeah.
But if it's like actually, you know, taking people's money on the belief that they'll get cured.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah, that's a bit different.
But yeah, his wife was telling, so because James Reddy managed to tap into the frequency that they were using on their earpieces.
And listened in,
so he was able to hear all of the little instructions that she was whispering in his ear. Oh, it was so good.
I went to a live, like a magic show, but rather than just be like the traditional, like illusionist stuff, he was they call themselves mentalists. So the same way that Derren Brown is like a mentalist, you know, he does tricks with people's minds. He'll get them to guess a number and he will have already written it down, all that kind of shit. And when we got there quite early, and there were these two balconies either side of the sort of audience. So you had the audience sat down there in front of the stage, and there were two balconies either side. And these two guys came in, they both sat down the exact same time, and they sort of looked at each other very pointedly when they sat down across the balconies. And I thought, that's weird. I wonder if those guys are like plants that he's put in the audience to feed him information. And there was a bit later in the show where he blindfolds himself and he asks people in the audience to hold up an object without it making a noise, and he will guess the object. And I was watching really closely, and these guys were obviously feeding him the information. It kind of took it away a bit when I saw these two guys walking in alone. I mean, it's just so weird that they both happen to be on the same part of the balcony opposite each other. They arrive at the same time. They both look at each other, and then they both sit down. I was like, okay, these guys are in on the show. But he wasn't trying to make out like he was using magic tricks. He was like, these are all tricks. You know, this is not some power of the mind shit. And Derren Brown's very like that as well. He's like, these are all just experiments that I can do, and it's all suggestion, and I like that. It's an incredible trick, and it's so skillful, and it requires so much patience.
Simpson mentioned this one we went to in Vegas, but you know, we saw these things in Vegas, and when we were sat there watching the show, I was like, first of all, I was trying to figure it out, and always when you watch a magician, you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
you're like, well,
yeah,
he must just be. He first of all, you come to like, I think the magicians know this though, and they also build this into their act.
Of
so
course.
In a sense, like you come up with a solution, say like, oh, he must just be a plant, right? Or he must just be giving this person the specific card that he wants to give them, so that you know, and then the best magicians always debunk that in some way.
Yeah, they'll say, and I couldn't possibly have done so and so because, I mean, when they go, now, sir, we've never met, have we? That's no good anymore because people are like, bullshit, you know each other, like, come on. That's
but
why
like,
you
know,
guys
this
high-fived.
Guy we were watching, you know, he picked these random people out of the audience and then, you know, after the show, you sort of, we were all walking out and, you know, I watched these people quite closely. I was like, because I had like an idea that there was this like old couple and I thought they must be plants, right? So I was like following them around a little bit afterwards, just like watching where they went. And they, you know, they just went off and they sort of chatted away. And I was just overhearing their conversation. And it was they were totally...
innocent.
I don't know whether they were totally innocent. They couldn't have possibly been plants, but it felt like that was the only way that it could have, like some of these things that were done were so amazing and so clever.
Yeah.
I could not, that they were not, they were 100% not plants.
I love that.
I couldn't figure out.
I love magic like that.
Oh man, imagine you're like following them around and they're just like going about their business, like old couple, they're really innocent and stuff. And you're like, I'm just going to eavesdrop a little bit and see like if I can pick up on whether or not they're plants or whatever. And like, you know, he's like walking down looking at some slot machines with his wife, and his wife is like, you know, really just soaking up the glitz of Vegas and everything. And you get into range and you're doing your eavesdrop, and all of a sudden he's just like, hey, so what do you want to have for dinner tonight? She's like, oh, I'm not that hungry, like maybe just a salad or something. It's like, yeah, I could do for a salad. Hey, you want to try some anal later, maybe, like just for once? You want to get out like the turbo vibrator 5 million and fucking jam me right in my ass or something later? It's like,
I've already got the tank engine up there.
That's got to be the gold mine of eavesdropping though, right? Like your perverted side like would always want to hear like this kind of stuff, right, in an eavesdrop.
Well, it's like that time that Duncan saw that woman watching pornography of herself in the lobby of a hotel. It's like, you know, that's the ultimate, I mean, that's the one in a billion. Like eavesdropping / you know, eyeballing something. Like walking past and watching a woman watching porn of herself. That is...
Why would you watch that back in public, though? That's so weird. Like,
yeah,
I think she wasn't expecting people to just...
Hotel lobby?
Catch her.
Yeah, I mean, you got to kind of expect that somebody might catch a glimpse.
I don't think she realized that it was like the area that you, I don't think she realized that you could see what she was watching from where she was sat, though, because she was up against the wall, I think, but there was like a glass sort of panel thing behind her, and I don't think she realized that it was like see-through from the other side.
Also, you never know what's going to get people off. Like, maybe she's into watching porn in public, and that's kind of exciting to her. Yeah, it's like, you never know, man. You never know.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Oh, yeah. She's watching that big big ginger guy walk past, thinking, oh, he's seen my tits.
He saw him.
Yeah.
He saw it.
He saw me doing it.
What's wrong with people? Fuck me.
People do get off on that stuff, though. Like, it's for real. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
People are exhibitionists and stuff. Yeah, they love it.
I think Duncan's definitely the luckiest, though, for seeing that. Like,
yeah, he definitely gets off.
That's unbelievable.
He is a real... He gets off on doing it in public as well, you know.
Really?
Duncan.
All right.
He's a real exhibitionist. Likes to show off. Jeez, I don't know.
That's good to
Everyone's
know.
Everyone's got their own little
I do think it's weird when you talk to people that they've had a relationship with someone, subsequently broken up, and then have told everybody else what that person was like. And sometimes the stuff that you hear, you think like, really? That person? Like, it's mind-blowing. People completely change when it comes to sex. And I think it is definitely one of the, if not the weirdest thing that people are going to do in their lives. Like, when I think about how to explain sex to my kids, we give kids a very straightforward view of what it's like. But what you really want to say is, look, you're going to meet some fucked up people who are into all kinds of crazy, crazy shit.
Yeah.
And they'll just be walking around like regular people and you won't have any idea how fucking freaky they are when it comes to that. It's like it's just this weird part of people's lives. You can be 100% ordinary and average in every other way.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
he likes shoving pigeons up your ass, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm always skeptical when I hear this stuff, though, because I think a lot of people use this sort of stuff to appear to be more interesting than they actually are. Because, like, I think if you're just sort of like a boring average person, you're probably that way in the bedroom as well, more times than not, sort of thing. Like, I think, yeah, there's probably a couple of people who are shoving pigeons up their ass or whatever, and that's fine, I guess, to some extent or whatever. But like, on average, you know, like when people are like really laying it on, like trying to like almost shock you with like how sexual they are in private with their dildos and stuff like that, I'm like, come on. Like, who are you trying to kid here? You're like, you're fucking 40 years old. You're like a boring ass mom who nobody cares anyway. And you're not even doing that. You're just lying to like appear to be somewhat interesting when you're not. Like, I'm always skeptical about that shit.
Yeah, I sometimes people do just volunteer this information to you. Like, I was talking to this guy and he was like, oh, my girlfriend, she fucking loves eye contact, like permanent eye contact, like never like eye contact throughout, like all the time.
Right.
And I know this person as well. And I'm like, it's changed the way I look at her now a little bit.
Yeah, but maybe it's true. Maybe it's true and it's just something that you didn't want to know about somebody or whatever. But like, I don't know. It's probably not true. I'm just going to say.
You think it's not true?
I don't think it's true.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think people would volunteer this stuff sometimes.
I don't know.
What do you mean? I don't know. Why would they make that shit up? That's kind of... You could see that being a fetish, right? Or not a fetish, necessarily, just
like
a thing.
Like an eye contact thing.
Yeah, like a really heavy eye contact, like really turns a woman on.
It occurs to me there are an awful lot of people out there now, like a decent percentage of the population, who have been in a pornographic film, even a homemade one, that is now available on the internet.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because
actually,
I don't know about you guys, but it's not often you see the same girl in a porno. Like, there are definitely professional porn actresses. A lot of the time, it's like this huge cast of characters. There's like a million girls out there that have been in porn.
There is a staggering variety out there, that's for sure.
Hang on, no, I don't think that's the problem. I think more likely the fact that, you know, how easy it is with things like video calling and WhatsApp. You know, if I'm on WhatsApp, you know, doing like a video call with, you know,
with my bitches.
Let's just suppose I am.
Yeah.
And it's an evening, right, and I'm like, oh, I've just got out of the bath. I like might, you know, show a bit of skin. I think it's very easy, right, to do that.
This sounds like an excuse that you're laying the foundations for a forthcoming scandal is coming out.
You know, this stuff travels around. You don't know where it ends up or where it's stored or where it's been copied or
anything.
Your
kids are going
to
be on the internet one day.
Why
are
you exposing your genitals to like handheld devices? That's not something that's even remotely sensible to do. Like, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass at some point, for sure.
Because you have a lot of trust in people, especially romantically. You know, you think you're in love with someone, especially when you're young. And you're like, well, you know, I'm going to trust this person implicitly. He's never going to leak. She's never going to show.
Just fuck them and have babies like we've been doing for centuries. Like, what? Why do you have to take pictures of your fucking dick?
I'm not even talking.
Put them on the internet. Like,
I'm not even talking about people filming themselves. I mean, this is shit where there's like a cameraman, you know? There's like two people having sex and there's clearly a third person there with a camera.
Yeah, that's pretty
fucked up. So they know this
too.
Is going
to
end up on the internet, because why the fuck is Steve filming this? If you know, it's like he's filming and they're, you know, they're looking at, oh yeah, you know, they're porning it up. They know that they're making porn. And there's a million people out there doing this. So my question is, first of all, how much money are they getting out of this? Like,
well,
genuinely.
You know what?
How much money can you get from porn? I know it's a huge driver of traffic on the internet, but how much do they get?
If you're out there and you're listening to this right now and you film porn, or you know people that film porn and make money off it, hit me up. I'm totally interested. I want to fucking know how this works, because...
Well, I did speak to a woman who was very, very close to actually have being in porn, like almost went down that path. Like, she knew people who had done it before. She had like a friend who was like, oh, you should get on this. You know, you just have to do this and this. You know, they'll take you to this place. This is how it works. You know, here's like someone here's one of the videos of someone who's done it before. You know, it's like one day, it's like a couple of £1,000, you know. And you know, she was like, at that time, I you know, didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. I eventually ended up not doing it because I felt like, you know, it wasn't right for me at the time or whatever. And, you know, I was like, that will like follow you around your whole life. How would you? And she was like, when I was 18, it was just something that was an easy thing. I thought it was exciting. You know, it was an opportunity. It was a lot of money. It was, you know, there were all these reasons. And this person is like, was really, really smart and kind of, you know, clued up. And I was just very surprised that it could happen. And I think what that goes to show is that I think that it is very tempting in many ways, either as a thrill or as a kind of just a quick source of cash, or, you know, or a thing that your friends are doing it and they have told you that it's safe and stuff. And so it's easy to end up just taking that step, you know, going from, I guess, like modeling or whatever to that next step. I think it was like through a modeling agency or whatever. That was where the contacts came from.
Right.
It is a thing that I think can be a lot easier to get into than you guys realize. And I think that the other problem we have of sending nudes and stuff around is just so easy because, you know, you've got, you're young, you're in love, you've got someone that you trust like completely, and you're just, it's the evening, you're not wearing very many clothes because it's hot or whatever, and
right.
You know,
yeah, I like how you're setting the scene, like it's almost like you have personal experience with this.
I have, there's loads of nudes.
I'm almost
of me
there.
Out there all over,
I've like, almost, you know, finished. I've
got you two are like, oh yeah, like really enjoy this.
God.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's weird. It's weird. I guess like I don't when it comes to porn, like I haven't watched porn for 6 months now.
Wow.
Right? It was one of my New Year's resolutions, right?
Oh,
I was
Jesus.
Like I'm just not going to watch porn anymore. And I haven't. And I feel good about that.
Yeah.
It's been a good thing.
You
for
feel
me.
Wholesome?
No, I don't know. I think porn, like I read a thing about how porn is very bad for your brain.
Right.
It's unnatural. Like we're not supposed to be exposed to all this stuff.
Oh, this porn.
And so it's one of my New Year's resolutions was to try and
Carl, you
cut
believe
that.
Anything you fucking read, don't you, Lewis? You read an article saying porn is bad for the brain. You're like, that's it. I'm giving it up. What if you read an article saying
convincing.
It was really good for your brain? Would
yeah.
you
well,
give
I'd,
it? Would you
I'd
get back,
back on,
it? On
that wagon? Yeah, I would.
What if that became the new like health craze? Like you can lose calories by watching porn. Like copious amounts of porn.
I don't think you will. I personally, period. Look, we are human beings and we are swayed. You know, if someone gives me a convincing argument to some point of view, then I'll be swayed to that until someone gives me a better one.
But that's like,
you know,
that's
I'm
bouncing
rational.
From pillar to post based on who's told you
something
lately.
I don't believe in
lately.
Stuff just willy nilly. I didn't. It wasn't a spiritual advisor who came to me and said, "Oh, Lewis, if you continue spunking your spirit into the ether, then you will never be happy." And I'll be like, "Oh, Mystic Man." Absolutely, I'll stop
Mystic
wanking
Meg.
It now. I didn't actually, you know, I've been thinking about you naked every day, Mystic Meg, but now you've told me, I've had a revelation. No, it's not like that. It was an actual thing that was convincing. And so, you know, I've felt better for it. I haven't, you know, I spent a good 15 years of my life, you know, all right, watching every possible connotation.
Do you just use your imagination or something?
Well, listen,
like
listen,
the Stone
listen.
Age?
We could talk about it more if you're interested.
No,
but
listen, I have,
needless
before
to say,
we leave, though, I have another business idea, okay? I'm not afraid to share it with you guys because it's not something that I would ever consider investing
in. A business
in.
Idea, right. So this is follow up to the strip club
sip,
and previous
sip, strips.
Things.
Yeah, yeah. Sip,
this
sip.
One is also like adult entertainment industry related, as most of my business ideas are. Okay, so this one, check this out, guys. It's a good one. I think like if somebody did this, they could maybe make some money, or maybe it exists out there and I haven't seen it or whatever. Okay, so you know, there's like a website. My wife goes to this website all the time. It's called ASOS. So, like As Seen on Stars.
Right.
It's clothing that's sold through like these fucking girl magazines, right? So like Kim Kardashian is wearing a fucking, I don't know, whatever, some sort of fucking tank top or something. And everybody's like, oh my God, that is such
where'd
a cute
get the tank top.
Yeah. And then this website stalks it. And then, well, while they're selling the tank top, they're like, Kim Kardashian wore this a week ago. It's hot, girls. Come get your tank top. And that's how they sell fucking tons of shit on this website, right? Okay, it's crazy. So my wife like uses it. She buys like a bunch of stuff or whatever. And like, I'm sure like fucking millions of women out there in the world do the same. So my idea is instead of As Seen on Stars, we call the website As Seen on Porn, okay?
Wow.
Right? So you get porns and you do product placement in the porns for like dildos and
porns.
Like fucking like lingerie and shit like that, okay? So like you can watch the porn and be like, fuck, that dildo looks amazing. Like, I would love to buy that dildo. And then beside the window that you're watching the porn, and it's like, do you want to buy this dildo? Or would you maybe like to buy this mankini that fucking Long Don Silver was wearing in this porn or whatever? So, like, you have, like, this whole thing. And then even further to that, okay, because if you're reusing porn that exists already for the product placement and, like, selling the, you know, people might start getting a bit, like, you can't do this, okay? You can't make money off the back of my porn, okay? This is my porn. So we'd have to like, I say we, if you decide to go down this route for your business venture, you hire somebody who can film homemade porn for you so that you can put all the product placement in and stuff. And then you can have like a premium subscription so that if you want to watch more videos sort of thing, you can pay for that and then buy a bunch of dildos and fucking butt plugs and beads or whatever.
So what you're going to do is you're going to have to watch a lot of porn, but figure out what's in the background. So you're going to have to watch porn for the
other
stuff.
Man, people are doing this shit anyway. They might as well just buy some shit off the back of it, you know? Like, if you're just going to sit around and watch 8 hours of porn a day, you might as well just fucking buy a dildo.
Well, I mean,
you're done.
You're just going to film a couple having sex on a giant pile of Coca-Cola cans.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking like stuff, yeah. Like, I don't think Coke would be up for that kind of advertising, but like, I'm saying,
no.
You know, maybe like Turbo Dildo 5 million would be up for like, you know, doing like a promotional spot where like, you know, you test out the product on a willing man or woman in the video and then it helps sell them through the website sort of thing. So there you go.
Before I suck a cock, I like to clean my teeth with Aquafresh.
This is why I'm broke all the time, by the way. Like, my business sense is terrible. I think it's a pretty good idea. I think it could work.
I think it's terrible.
I think that people out there are obsessed with porn, and they would watch this stuff anyway, and then maybe they'd be tempted to buy stuff. You'd have to, like, deliver the stuff in, like, nondescript packaging and stuff, though, right?
I feel like if you're going to try and do that right, you have to pick kind of a quite kind of you're trying to, I don't know.
But the problem with it is your range of stock is going to have to be so vast because there's so much porn, or you're going to need to make sure that millions of people are watching specific movies that you make so that you can product place in them. And that's the impossibility of it, I think.
I don't think that these are problems, though. Like,
they are problems.
No.
If it's seen on Kim Kardashian, you know it's going to be widely seen by millions of people.
Yeah, but this is, we're talking about free porn here. Like, and
but
safe
how many views
too.
Can that be? how many views?
Billions.
Millions.
It's not.
Oh.
It's not.
You don't know, Flex. You're a fool.
I do. You can see the view count underneath the movie.
Fool.
You can see the view count. Even the really good ones have like 100K. It's not reaching a big enough audience.
You say that, but if every one of those 100K bought a dildo, we'd be rich.
But they're not gonna.
Or you'd be rich if you decide to go ahead with this business venture. So it's not me. Okay. I can't do it. I got kids and a wife and stuff. They would
I've
be more
than
fine.
I've got the same shit. Get Lewis
to do it. Oh my God, you guys, like, let's just end this podcast right now. If you are listening, why don't you buy a Bodega t-shirt available and worn by members of the Triforce podcast?
I've had sex whilst wearing a Bodega
that's
t-shirt.
That's all we're wearing when we have sex with each other, just a Bodega t-shirt. It's disgusting.
That's right. Mm. And you can look as good as us in that, and that does support the podcast. So thank you very much, everyone. We're done for this week. It's been a bit of a meandering one, as usual. We bounce from topic to topic.
Hey, Flax, just before we go, I heard the birds in the background when you were talking at one point.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I think the bird feeder works.
Good job.
Holy shit. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll see you next time, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.